This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle-resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle-free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
BT and Sal back on the fan. I noticed David Wright is at Mets camp today. We should play some of the sound a little bit later on. He was having some fun down there and said some interesting things. I know you love David Wright, so maybe we'll have some fun with that, BT, as we get into baseball. Also, the Yankees, I know you're big on this. You wanted me to text Martino about something. I'm going to try to do that now. But the money that the Yankees will get back from Garrett Cole's
the insurance
injury,
yep.
Right, can they should they reinvest that? Sure, but I don't. The issue to me is not that the Yankees are worried about the $27 million. It's more about the
tax implications.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you text them. And by the way, we've got the Baseball Card World Series coming up today. Sal guaranteed a win.
Forgot about that.
Guaranteed a win.
I did guarantee a win to push it to, you are up 3-1.
3-1.
It is game 5 today coming up at 12:40.
Correct.
I got to push it to a game 6, which would take place Friday.
Yes.
Game 6
Because I'm not doing the show tomorrow. Obviously, St. John's Big East Tournament, so we'll get to Little Johnny's later as well. We've got 3RQ today. We'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. Yeah, I want the answer there because it's, and we'll have this conversation later, and we'll get some information from Andy, but the it's not as simple as saying, well, okay, here's $27 million insurance money for Garrett Cole. Just go and then, you know, redisperse that somewhere else. And even if it is that simple, I'm not really so sure where they should refunnel the money. I need some answers to see what the biggest hole on the team is, because I surmise it might be more than one.
Yeah, all right.
So
well, I'm trying to find out here from Andy again. Who the hell knows with this stuff, these luxury tax thresholds? Although I do remember the Mets getting involved with this. Remember with was it Verlander or Scherzer? Either one of those guys where they had, probably Scherzer. Maybe it was, either way, when those guys were down, okay, well, you get the money. But man, maybe it was even before that. Was it DeGrom?
I don't remember.
Anyway, it was somebody big in the rotation that the Mets had. Maybe it was even Diaz, now that I think about it. Maybe it wasn't the rotation.
Well, he was out for the whole year.
I think it might have been Diaz because he was out for the whole year where those other guys were out parts of the year. But when you recoup that insurance money, I'm like, yeah, that's great. What does it do? You'd rather have the player out there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it just equates to, okay, well, we have 27 free million to go
spend. Probably not.
Because of the tax implications. All right, back to the Rodgers stuff. We're awaiting Aaron Rodgers' decision. Who knows what time it'll come down, although the league calendar officially starts today, 4 p.m. So obviously that's during Evan and Tiki's show. We'll see if the decision from Rodgers is made before then. Jimmy is in Seaside, New Jersey. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? I got a couple different points to make. But I go back to Tarkenton and Homer Jones, okay? So with as far as being a Giants fan and you know, you first talked about Giants fans and the State of the Union, shall we say. And I have to admit, like, he's one of the greatest of all time, Rodgers. He's egotistical. I absolutely hated the whole Jet situation, all the stuff he did. I don't like him as a person. But
what did he do? You just said all the stuff that he did. What did he do?
Well, no, just the way. What did he do? Yeah. What has he done? I don't want to get into that.
What he did, what Rodgers did,
the way he acted on the weekly shows.
What did he do?
I just don't like his attitude. I think he's egotistical, pointing out receivers when they make mistakes, stuff like that.
Okay, I just want an example.
Whatever.
I got you.
But all that said,
I
this is the weird part. I would love, not love, but I would not mind him being a Giant quarterback.
I'll take him.
To sit there and watch, you know, because I'm not giving up picks for him. I'm not paying him a ton of money, hopefully. But here's the other thing now, but onto the draft now. They are in such a mess because, like you guys said, these quarterbacks are not that great. You know, I would love to have Ward if I picked one. The wild card would be a Dylan Gabriel, maybe in the fourth round, fifth round. Nobody talks about him. But where I would have fired both of these guys is last year, what you guys said, when they passed on taking Michael Penix and Bo Nix, and I said, let's see how those guys do and the way they look their first year. If I was the owner of the team, I would have said, how did you pass on these guys?
Yeah, or McCarthy. Or McCarthy. Excellent point, Jimmy, and thank you for the call. Or J.J. McCarthy, who's going to be the starter for Minnesota this season. So there were options for the Giants. Look, if I could say it, that means other people could be thinking the same thing, right? It doesn't mean that it's right. It just means that in real time last year, I hated the Malik Nabers pick because I said the Giants needed to draft a quarterback because I knew what Daniel Jones was. If I knew that and others knew that, how come the Giants couldn't figure that out? If Sean Payton could turn Bo Nix into a playoff quarterback, how come Brian Daboll couldn't do that? If Atlanta could have the foresight to say, hey, we got Kirk Cousins, but I cannot pass up on Michael Penix, and he looked pretty good when he was in there, how come Brian Daboll and Joe Shane couldn't do that? So to me, that was the end, for me, of the Shane and Daboll regime.
If I own the Giants and they tell me, hey listen, Mr. Mara, John, whatever the relationship is, I know we need a quarterback. We don't deem, based on what we've seen and all of our scouts moving up, we're taking anybody else here. We're going to go with Malik Nabers. We think he's a transcendent talent, which, by the way, he is.
Right.
But to your point about going out and getting a quarterback, and they would have passed on that. And Mara said, okay, do your job. And Penix looked awful, or Bo Nix didn't play, didn't win the job. There's less smoke around those two gentlemen. They made a conscious decision to bypass the quarterback spot, and not one, but two, and actually three McCarthy
right.
were deemed highly viable. And if I'm Mara, that's where I say, whoa, that's the end of the road here,
and,
boys.
Right.
What are we doing?
That would have been it for me. And Daniel Jones wasn't any good. So, it was a quadrant of bad mistakes or bad decisions. Didn't like Penix, didn't like Nix, didn't like McCarthy, did like Daniel Jones, invested in him, all went against them. How do you then justify keeping them and having them make a decision and almost forcing them into a spot now to take a quarterback in a less quarterback draft?
That's the scary part. They didn't like the four players that you just mentioned. They might not like either of these top two quarterbacks now, but they have to almost convince themselves that they do, or somebody else, because they need to take a quarterback. And this is what we've warned everybody about for a while. When you put somebody in a position of desperation, sensibility gets blurred.
Yeah.
And when you're doing something to hold on to your job, it's the motivation's not always clear and right.
So that's why I'd like to, and you were on that from the beginning, BT, saying that exact thing. They shouldn't be forced in. I've been hell-bent on getting a quarterback, force or not. It wouldn't have been forced in my math or my equation a year ago. Now it's almost like you have no choice. But I'd like to know the long-term, the real, we don't know, right? I'm not talking to anybody inside the Giants building, so we're just assuming based off what Mara says, based off of the results for the first 3 years, kind of the actions that are, the moves that they're making in free agency, who they bring in a quarterback, who they're trying to bring in. It would lead you to think that they need to win now. But if you were telling me long-term, Mara believed in Shane and Daboll, which is why he's bringing them back and says, okay, you're not forced to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not forced to get a quarterback. I trust you guys to figure it out. Obviously, I'd like to win, but you still have some time here. Then it's a different story.
Agreed.
But
where's the extension?
Okay, right. But that's why we said it. If you're going to bring them back, it better be beyond just 2025. And I don't believe that that's going to be the case.
It really seems like the worst possible situation you can have. It's a weak quarterback class. You need a quarterback. You need to win. And there's no long-term commitment from the owner. Good luck, guys.
Tom is in Alexandria. What's up, Tom?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
All right, Tom.
Two quick points about the Giants management and about Saquon Barkley. Listen, great player, phenomenal season, Super Bowl. Everybody's talking about a big mistake the Giants made by not signing him. But the truth of the matter is nobody's talking about if we kept him, he would have had 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards. He would have probably got injured with that offensive line. And instead of three wins, maybe we would have had four or five. Mm-hmm. So I'm not understanding this big mistake by the Giants not signing Saquon. But going into mistakes, the Giants have a history. I don't know how old you guys are. I'm a longtime Giant season ticket holder. In the 70s, the NFL had to hire the Giant head coach because of the owner's buffoonery. You heard on this on the segment before you with Boomer, the Giant head coach said Pat Mahomes was a sure thing.
Yeah,
right, McAdoo. And now Mara says you gotta win. Well, there aren't any quarterbacks worthy of drafting in the first round except an argument made for Ward.
Yep.
So you got to pick the best player, and you need a bridge quarterback for 1 or 2 years. So I put this all on Mara and the ownership, and they have a long, long history, gentlemen, of doing things like
Tommy,
this.
Tommy, listen, it's a great call, and thank you for the call. I can promise you that if there wasn't such volatility in the Giants organization the last 10 years or so, that these two men would have been relieved of their duties. I think, I can't prove that. I think, but I strongly believe that a large part of Mara going back to them once more with this well of Shane and Dable is because all of the previous iterations that didn't work out, he's sensitive to it. For a while, the Giants were like the Yankees, a bastion of consistency and winning and class and conservative, you know, firings and just, you know, what both teams represent. And the Giants really became the Jets. And that's what's happened. And that is something that Mara, I get it, very aware of and very much wants to stop and end that perception. And the way you end the perception, at least temporarily, is stop firing people. That's right. What I believe happened.
Yeah, and once they started making changes, starting with Tom Coughlin, it has been a vicious cycle here. Same thing with McAdoo. Now, they believed in him, right? They see, this is where they really get themselves in trouble. Now, again, we hate to go back to history, whether the call is referencing the 70s or I keep referencing, you know, Daniel Jones and Gettleman or McAdoo in this particular case. But think about it. They moved on from Coughlin, believing in Ben McAdoo, trying to prevent him from going to Philly. They loved him so much. And then they didn't let him do what he wanted to do. That doesn't make any sense. If he loved Patrick Mahomes, why would you not listen to Ben McAdoo? Why would you, if he wanted to go to Geno Smith instead of Eli Manning, why would you not listen? So him going to Geno Smith instead of and benching Eli got McAdoo fired, which started a whole nother ball of crap going the wrong way. Like that led to the Shermer and Gettleman and all that. Like, and it just keeps getting worse. And Joe Judge and now this, like that, all because they didn't stick with their conviction initially, whether it was with Coughlin or McAdoo after that, just one mistake after another. And now to your point, BT, trying to have a correction in saying we're not going to change it again and sticking with Shane and Dable despite what they've shown you for 3 years.
Yeah, and they're not making change, not because they necessarily believe in these two. I mean, I'm sure they believe in them a little bit, but it's more about I believe the perception and all the things that I just said. Here's the thing, though. At least going back to the McAdoo, Eli, Geno thing, I've got to give the Giants a little pass here. You know, it in real time, it is simple to sit here in 2025 and just pick out a litany of mistakes. There's a ton. Giants have been a train wreck. But in real time, you know, Eli, the two championships, you make a move, you're like, well, maybe we can squeeze one more year out of him. And by the way, Eli was pretty much the only Giant who was ready to play that playoff game out there in Green Bay. While those other dopes are on the boat doing who knows what, dropping passes the moment they stepped on the field, Eli was ready to ball, as he always is in the postseason.
Okay, understood, but McAdoo was right.
He was right. I'm talking about ownership, though. Like, that was a tough, to navigate. Same with Jeter.
It's not easy, but those are the decisions that can make the difference in where your franchise goes for the next decade. So not only did they make McAdoo culpable for that Eli decision, they then brought in a guy specifically that believed that they could win with Eli. And he takes a running back number two. Like this, you see how this all...
It's all dominoes. I'm just going to the first domino,
understood.
Though.
Yeah,
that's
but,
where it's...
Okay, fair enough. But that one then leads to...
I get it.
Okay.
Leads to now, basically, the short version.
They didn't like the way McAdoo handled the Eli situation. So then they brought in somebody who was going to make the most of Eli or say, you know what, we could win with Eli, which is what they wanted to hear. which leads them to drafting a running back number two overall, which eventually led them to take Daniel Jones. They moved on from Eli anyway. Then they stuck with Daniel Jones.
Because they took him sixth overall. They had to justify keeping him around with a second contract.
And they think that they did everything to screw this kid up. They kept, it's Shermer's fault. It's Judge's fault. It's this guy's fault.
Mess.
One bad mistake after another, and they can't get it right.
And I really refuse to exonerate them for almost every mistake except to contextualize the first one. Tough call with Eli in real time.
Alan is in Freehold. What's up, Alan?
Hey, bud.
How you guys doing today? By the way, Brandon, thank God to your dad. My father-in-law was NYPD for 30 years, 1952 to 1982.
Love it. God bless him. Awesome.
I'm 66. I've been a Giant fan since 1968. I had season tickets from 1978 to 2019. I was at Super Bowls 42 and 46. First off, I do not want Aaron Rodgers. I don't want a veteran quarterback. If you remember, Brandon, you spent 10 years with Tiki. Tiki's rookie year, the Giants won the division at 9-6-1. The quarterback was Danny Cannell.
Mm-hmm.
They won that division on defense. I say if he's there, you take Abdul Carter. You build up this defense. But what nobody sees is that the Giants went downhill when Ann Mara passed away. Wellington was very loyal. He kept Andy Robustelli as the GM throughout the 70s, the same Andy Robustelli that traded a number one pick to the Cowboys for Craig Morton, and that number one pick became Randy White. His nephew, Tim Mara, would never agree with anything. That's how Roselle got involved.
Hold on. I got a quick question for you. And listen, love the history, sincerely, but I got a question for you. When you referenced Tiki's first year, do you think you can still win that way in the NFL with an average quarterback? Like, you got to score points. Danny Cannell wasn't any good.
Do you think Jalen Hurts is great?
I think he's a great athlete. I think he's a great weapon. I think
he's a great quarterback.
Honestly,
system. Brock Purdy is not a great quarterback, but look at the system he went into.
Yeah, but Brock doesn't scare anybody. Jalen Hurts scares people. There's a difference. And thanks for the call there, Al. Listen, if I'm a defensive coordinator, and independent of system, and I'm looking at Brock Purdy and I'm looking at Jalen Hurts, who scares me more? It's Hurts. Brock Purdy's not going to run wild in the third level.
Well, if you're talking about just, being a dual threat.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
sure.
I get it. And by the way, Hurts is underrated at this point. I mean, the guy just won a freaking Super Bowl.
And he outplayed Mahomes in the one that he lost. Yeah. He would have been the MVP. He could have won it, even in defeat.
People have this thing for Hurts.
It's not fair. He's a champion. He's a hell of a player.
Yeah, and now again, he's a winner. But even take somebody like Dak Prescott, who's a very good quarterback. And I still have my issues with Dak. Like, do I love him? No, but the way that we grade quarterbacks, it's just not right. Like, it's, could he win the Super Bowl? Could he win this or that? The Giants need to start from, like, hey, can the guy win some games? Can he score some touchdowns? Hey, how about this? Let's get a quarterback that can actually throw for some touchdowns. They haven't gotten that. But I don't think it should come in the form of Aaron Rodgers. I also agree with the caller in that they should take, if Carter is there, and he might not be, he might go one or two.
Mm-hmm.
I just want the best player available there. If you're building this thing out to try to create an identity, to have a foundation.
Yeah.
With the way that the Giants are set up, they've put themselves in a spot where they need a quarterback. Like, it's to your point. Should you force the issue with taking a quarterback? No, but they almost have to, because if they did take Carter at number three, then what? And sign Aaron Rodgers, then what? You're going to be a 8-9-1 team. You still don't have your answer. So I love that idea and trying to build that great defense, but ultimately, this regime needs their quarterback. It's a unique position that they're in because they don't have a quarterback going into year four with a failed regime. Most regimes that fail either had the opportunity to have taken that quarterback or will be out, and they bring in the new regime to take that quarterback. So I don't hate the idea of taking best position available. I don't think this is the right spot for that.
I think Tennessee might be starting to mess around and change their opinion and their mind on whether or not they take a quarterback. I think they're more inclined to take one than they were a week ago. Maybe that's the Abdul Carter knee issue. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe they fall more in love with Cam Ward. I'm not saying that they can't trade out, but for the first time, I'm thinking they could take a quarterback, and I don't think it would be Sanders. If they do, it would be Ward. And now, you know, if Carter's there and Travis Hunter's there, and what do you do? I mean, for John, if you don't love Sanders, you're not going to take a quarterback. You can't trade out. You want to take somebody who's already got a little bit of a knee injury, but could be all time in Carter. or a guy who is really good at both positions but can't possibly play both in the NFL? What do you do?
I'm torn here because I don't know what the Giants are thinking. Like, could you sell me that the Giants are saying, hey, we want Rodgers because we don't love Ward or Sanders, and then maybe they hope to get another quarterback at some point in this draft, which would lead them to taking Carter or Hunter, and now you get a veteran quarterback that you think could win some games now and a big piece that you think could change the defense.
Yeah, which I'm fine with, by the way. Yeah. That very well might be what they're thinking.
Maybe if this were year one, I don't know.
It ain't. Remember, we can't hit rewind, we almost have to pretend this is year one.
So I did get a text back from Andy. I just asked him basically, is the Gerrit Cole money still held against the tax threshold, even with the insurance that the Yankees will get back? He said, yeah, that's the problem. So the idea of reinvesting that $27 million for the Yankees, it sounds great, but the reality is it's a luxury tax thing more than it is about just the $27
million. There you go.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Just another day living. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Wednesday morning. You'll love this, BT, ahead of the St. John's stuff. So, and also you could see if this is questionable behavior or not.
Okay.
So I order pizza from the same spot usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a delivery guy who, you know, it changes on occasion, but
sure.
Sometimes the same guy comes and he knows me from the show, I guess, right? He says, hey, Sal, whatever, he hands the pizza off. And then, like, the more he comes, the more we talk a little bit. Over the course of the weekend, last weekend I was ordering pizza for my wife and her friend. They were over, and I get a call from him, and I didn't even know it was him. I just see a random number. He's like, hey, do you want it by the garage, or do you want to come to the front door? I was like, come to the front door. Then it's the same guy. So, and he's wearing a St. John's.
There we
thing.
Go. And I'm like, Jersey right. Burbs.
And now he starts telling me that he used to, let me get all this information.
And now, right. Oh, he's texting you now. The delivery guy's your best buddy.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's what I was saying.
Well, you gave me a number?
No,
oh, it just pops up. That's right.
I didn't even give him. It must have been in the order.
Oh, that's right.
So he called.
Ooh, okay, go ahead.
Anyway, it's Ruben, and he knows you.
From?
He said he used to run a store on the Upper West Side,
Ruben.
Some kind of coffee shop. He said he used to talk to you all the time about St. John's.
Really?
And he says, if it to jar his memory, tell me he used to buy large French vanilla coffees. So this is Ruben, Upper West Side Cafe something, or I forget the name of it.
I lived right by Central.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $249 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SN316458. MSRP 32295 and 331-25.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Park for
your
a long time.
All, some kind of shop there, some kind of cafe.
I used to go to Starbucks. I used to go to an old diner that's not there anymore.
That might have been it in the
think
diner.
So. I just ordered like black coffee and like, you know, three
was
eggs.
Was it the diner?
Nah, it doesn't sound like a diner order.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's making it up.
No, I'm not saying he is either, unless he's some crazy St. John's fan pretending to know me, wants to get tickets. You sure it's not Ruben Prey, their big man?
No,
who's
no,
actually
no.
on the team?
That is not
I don't know. I'm sorry, buddy.
You may not know him by name, but you probably, you know. French vanilla, is that something you
That's something
order?
That I would
there
absolutely order. Not anymore. Now I just go black for the most part.
But this is probably
yeah,
many
it was in my
years
French
ago.
Vanilla days, but I just don't know the place where it would have been.
He said it was on the Upper West Side.
That's where I used to live.
A little cafe that was not... That
all right, man, I believe him.
Yeah, but he's like, he didn't at first didn't know, and then he started talking to you. You talk about St. John's. You were doing the games even back then.
Yeah, my first year was 03-04.
But how about
that's
that?
Nuts.
How about that Ruben calling me and then texting me?
A little aggressive, Ruben.
Sure, nice guy.
I'm sure he is. Nice a little ambitious.
Yeah,
you know.
And by the way...
You don't have enough going on?
Throwing a free pie or two, maybe? No,
yeah, you're not. No, you're not. At least mozzarella sticks.
No, he's been a good dude. And I don't mind talking sports to him, but I thought
that's great.
Once I saw him with the St. John stuff, I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking about you. And, oh, no, BT used to come out the French vanilla.
That's good.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Of course, St. John's Big East tournament tomorrow.
I cannot wait tomorrow.
Looking forward
yep.
to that, getting things underway. Back to the calls of the Giant quarterback situation. Ben is in Knoxville, Tennessee. What's up, Ben?
Hey, fellas. How you doing this morning?
Good. What's up?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've called before, kind of just beating the drum. I'm just wondering why there's not any buzz or discussion about Joe Milton from New England. I mean, he seems like the ultimate low-risk, high-reward.
Joe, we talk about him a lot. You know, we do. We talked a lot about him yesterday, actually. Joe Milton's a very intriguing prospect. You know, he's 6'5", 250. I guess the only thing that you have to consider, apparently the Patriots are willing to trade him because they gave their backup, was it 2 years, $5 or $6 million a year? So Milton's obviously number three right now, but they're going to trade him. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You don't keep him on the roster as a third without any intention to play him. I think they want to do right by the young man, and then there's intrigue, but I think there's going to be a few teams that want him. We brought up Milton before.
Yeah, we just brought him up yesterday. Yeah. There was a report, Jordan Schultz of Fox had it, that the Patriots are likely to trade him. Now it's just a matter of, okay, well, what are you going to give up for him? Would you give up a three? Would they take a three? Are other teams going to be involved? Would you have to give up more than just a three? And then here's really what it comes down to. Like, you could have your opinion, BT. The callers could have their opinion. I could have my opinion. Ultimately, what matters is Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's opinion on who they identify as the next possible franchise quarterback. Clearly, by their actions, you would think, even against some of the reports that we have heard, would show that they don't love Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Because if they did love those guys, it wouldn't be about Matthew Stafford. They tried to get Stafford. That didn't happen. And then the second part is about Rodgers. Now, where it gets tricky is Rodgers could theoretically. I don't think Stafford could. You couldn't bring in Stafford and draft a quarterback. Okay, so we know the
Agreed.
Truth of what the Giants wanted. Rodgers, you could kind of thread the needle potentially, although I don't think it works as well as it would, let's say, with a lesser option like Russell Wilson. But you could potentially thread the needle, have Rodgers in the now, who's the best quarterback to win games now, and also still try to find your guy by maybe drafting one. But if they don't love Ward or Sanders or Dart, then I would recommend a trade for Milton. If they love him, I don't know. It's impossible to say. All I know is this. It's been 3 years of failure, and they're going in the wrong direction since the success that they had in year one. They still have yet to draft or develop a franchise quarterback going into year four. And they haven't won many games at all, especially outside of that first year. So now you're trusting guys who have shown to be less than in 3 years, and we still don't know who exactly they want when clearly their top option is off the board in Matthew Stafford.
All right, wacky time here.
Yeah.
Just a wacky possibility.
Yeah.
I don't think this would work with Aaron Rodgers. I think it would work more with Wilson because I think Wilson would probably be more amenable to it, and other players lower than Wilson on the respect board, if you will, would, I think, be open with it because they don't have a choice. So, talk about threading the needle. You get a veteran, and you have a sub-package of plays for a young quarterback that you roll in there a little bit.
Atlanta did that with Chandler and Vic when they first took him.
Is that how they handled it?
That's a long time ago.
That's how they introduced Vic? I don't even remember that. Yeah. Okay. So,
very little. Now, remember, Vic was a special
case. For sure. There's no doubt.
Dan Reeves did that working him in.
Interesting. All right. I mean, maybe not quite a wildcat situation because it's not like, you know, Cam Ward or Shador Sanders are running 4.440s. You know, I'm not saying that, but maybe there's different things that you could do where they're not rotting on the bench forever. They're still taking a few meaningful stats, but you're also but you're also trying to win with a Rodgers or a Wilson type. Again, I don't think Rodgers would really want that, but
right. I still just don't. Like, to me, it's all about them finding a franchise quarterback. It's not always all about that in the NFL. I think there are times where you want to build. Like, it wasn't that case with the Jets right now. Jets are in year one trying to build a foundation. I don't look at Justin Fields as the franchise quarterback. He's got the potential to be one. Maybe they could win some games with Justin Fields and start to build this thing. But they're in year one of culture building, changing.
They're doing it right.
Correct. They, for a change, it seems like they're doing it right. I may not love what they did, meaning rookie GM, rookie head coach. But the way that they're doing it at least is in line. Like, they're all cohesive unit here. The Giants are all over the place, and it doesn't make any sense. When we come back, we'll have a little 3RQ, three random questions, as we do every Wednesday at 11:40, and we'll continue with your calls as well. Giants quarterback situation is the main topic at hand.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, BT, little three random questions for you. Number one, are you afraid of snakes?
No, but I haven't been exposed to too many too often, thank God. Mm-hmm. And I have been in the desert, you know, out in Arizona. I guess I'm aware of them to an extent. And I love nature channels, and I love seeing animals attack each other. Like, I love
really?
That.
Really? You're in
that,
huh?
Oh, my God, I love it. I can't get enough of that. It's up there with the WWE shoots. I mean, I could sit there and watch hours.
Really?
Of like, yeah.
Of animals getting...
Like hyenas, like 10 hyenas trying to attack a lion or alligators with a hippo. Oh, I find it fascinating. But in terms of snakes, no. How about you?
Okay, so here's how... Yes, definitely afraid of snakes. And I remember, like, as a young kid, maybe running to get the mail barefoot and, like, stepping right in front of a black little garden snake and... Snake.
In Long Island, go to snakes, yeah.
So the genesis of this question, I watch. You guys watch White Lotus?
No.
Hoff, do you watch White Lotus?
I do. It's very boring this year.
Oh, come on. It's a good show. You caught up on it. So last episode, I think it was last, it was either two or three. I get them mixed up.
Yes.
There was a scene with snakes
in it. With a snake, yes.
Okay, where this one guy let, it's not like spoiling anything. One guy let like snakes out or whatever, right? So that leads me and my wife to have this discussion. I'm like, oh, man. I don't like snakes. And then they start talking about how snakes sometimes, you know, you've seen this before where snakes sometimes can come up the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I do check that once in a while.
And now I'm thinking, yeah.
I actually do.
Okay.
That, I'm not saying I don't think about it. I'm not exactly terrified of them, but I think about them.
You mean like before you sit down or something?
Yeah.
You look at it, okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
So then I'm like.
Give it an extra flush in case they're coming up. Yeah. I make sure they don't go back down.
So now I take it to another step because I'm like, all right, well, we're new to Jersey and we're living in the freaking mountains.
A little
here.
Bit.
I don't know.
Well, you're not living in the mountains,
well,
dude.
I mean, that's...
We're not in the mountains.
But it is. It
I don't
is.
Know. To you, it is.
I don't know. It is. Some people describe
the
it
the Dakotas
as
are the mountains. Montana's the mountains. Wyoming's the mountains. But I got you.
So I look it up, and I'm like, we don't have snakes like that, do we, here? And then I Google it, and there are snakes in New Jersey.
What type did you find?
Dude, get a lot of them. Garter snake.
Okay, not worried about them.
Garter snake, blah, 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 whatever. There was a couple of them. Black rat snake. Northern water snake. Eastern milk snake. Like, and
really?
I started looking into all these things. I'm like,
are they poisonous?
I mean, I didn't get that far. I just look at them and say,
maybe you should. That's all that matters.
Whether they're poisonous or not, I don't want to look at those things. They're big. And then I start thinking of poor Maddox running around. You want to get a little dog. Maybe that thing gets eaten up by a
come home
snake.
Half eaten one day, God forbid. Jeez.
I did see a fox in broad daylight.
There's a lot of foxes where we live. Yeah.
Like in the day?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go to the post office something the other day, like Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, throw on the music a little bit. Mm-hmm. Here comes a red fox darting across the road.
I'll tell you what. Now, I'm more afraid of foxes than snakes. I remember playing golf at my country club last year, and it was like, yeah, because I can't play during like coaching and work. Right. So I would go out a lot of time, especially since I knew it was closing. I would jump out at like 6:30, maybe bring a surfside, bring a beer, whatever, bring a bottle of water, and play by myself. Just, you know, drop 2-3 balls on each hole. Anyway, I was surrounded by 3 foxes, like a fox family. And, you know, I parked my car, finally get on the green, took me a while, getting ready to putt. And, like, they're following me every shot. I'm getting a little paranoid here. Like, I mean, Sal, I would hit a shot. They would watch me hit. I would drive my cart. They would follow me. They did this for 3 shots as I got to the green. Now I'm greenside. Now they follow me. They walk right up to the bunker. They're staring at me.
Maybe.
I'm like, these things, I honestly thought they were getting ready to eat me.
Maybe they knew you went to Marist.
Yeah, they just wanted to buddy up a little
bit. Marist nickname is what again?
The Red Fox is getting ready to win the MAC and hopefully make the dance. But yeah, they were a little intimidated because they weren't even blinking. They were staring at me.
Last one on the snakes, because I specifically looked up the town that we live in.
Yep.
And it said you may encounter northern water snakes, a non-venomous species, and potentially northern copperheads.
Oh, that sounds dangerous. Copperheads.
Venomous.
There you go. Copperheads are dangerous.
I may encounter them. No. I don't live in Arizona.
Be careful, dude.
I live in New Jersey. I don't want snakes, bears. What is this?
Would you make it a double, bartender? Make it a quadruple, actually, since we're both saying we'll sign it up for it. Anyway. Or a pit of Jesus. Or a pit of tarantulas.
Ooh.
A tough call.
I probably have to go tarantulas, but that's...
Why?
Aren't they venomous, too? Snakes.
Can't they bite?
Come on, man. All right, question number 2. If you were running late for work...
That's fantastic.
If you were running late for work or were on your way, you know, running late a little bit, but still
never
on your way...
Never late for work, by the way.
But you realize, like, you're 10 minutes into your trip or whatever, you realize you forgot your phone, what would you do?
10 minutes in? First, I'd probably punch the steering wheel, because that would really bother me. Right. That bothers me. I forgot my glasses today. So I'm asking Eric, I'm like, CeeLo, you got an extra pair?
Yeah, you're wearing these ridiculous looking glasses.
They look like, look at these. These are like half Urkel. I don't even know, half.
They look like glasses that belong to like a stuffed teddy bear or something.
Well, you know who gave you these? Boomer.
I mean,
CeeLo, dude, I really need them just to read like off my laptop. Yeah. Not to do the show, but just to read a little fine print, do the read. So CeeLo goes in Jerry's desk. Jerry's doing the Big Ten tournament out there in Indianapolis. So he's like, maybe Jerry's got a pair. Boom, Jerry has a pair. So I take those, but they don't really fit. They're not the right prescription. Then I ask Boomer, hey, Boom, you got a pair? Yeah, he gives you like 3 or 4 old grandma glasses. Yeah. I appreciate the effort. So I'm kind of using those. So... I forgot my glasses, ironically, but I didn't realize I didn't have them. If it was the glasses, 10 minutes into the drive?
Glasses, you'd probably leave, no? Phone is the thing.
Because I can communicate with my laptop.
You're going to go a whole day without your phone?
Well, I'm going home after the show. Now, if I have to go to St. John's, which I don't today, that's different. That's like a whole day. I get home at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and I leave at 6:50, 7 o'clock in the morning. Today, if I would have left the phone today after I got through the little 2 minutes of seething and infantile behavior, honestly, I probably would have said, screw it, I'm good.
Yeah, you're better than I am.
I probably would have said I'm going to leave it at home today.
Sometimes I forget the phone in the car on the walk to the train, and I'm like, I got to go back and grab it.
That's happened to me as well.
And then the other day, I got up to the train, I was running late, and I had no choice, and I was like, oh, shoot, do I have my phone? Luckily, I did, but then I was thinking, man, what if I didn't? Would I bypass this train?
That's the worst.
I can't go a whole day without the phone. I got everything here.
I left my phone in the Oakland Coliseum when I was working out there, and I actually somehow found it, and it was underneath the seat that I was sitting at. It's the most empty field. You lost. It's everything.
All right, last one.
Yep.
Is it okay for adults to wear jerseys to games?
Yeah. Who am I to be the jersey police? Well, I mean, you might want to be the jersey police. Maybe run a more stringent operation, but...
Or would you have rules for wearing jerseys? Like you can't
No. Who the hell am I to give out rules? I mean, do I find it odd when I go to a Jets game and I see like a very, like a Kyle Brady... I don't... like there's some... Or you know what I don't like? And still, I'm not going to tell you not to wear it. I don't like, I don't want to see a Favre Jet. Like, if you were here for a year, just like I'm not going to want to see Rodgers in a couple of years, even though he was here for 2. Like, there should be an expiration, and I'm not a jersey guy. I like sweatshirts.
Right.
I'm not a jersey guy as a grown man myself. But no, do what you got to do. Do you?
I've been a Jersey guy my whole life. I mean, well, there was a point when I, you know, really started to get older, 35-ish. Yeah, maybe I was like, I don't think I can wear jerseys. Then last year, I started wearing them during football season just for fun. But what made me think of it is you go to a Ranger game and like almost everybody in there is wearing a jersey. And for some reason,
hockey's different.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for some reason, hockey does feel different. I like it for nostalgic purposes now.
Uh-huh.
You know, back then, I was wearing it as if I was a player. You know, 18, 20 years old. Like,
heck God, from Ronkonkoma's
Helicata. That was my thought process. So I do like getting into the spirit of the game by wearing jerseys, and maybe it's a cool way to show off some retro stuff. Or
yeah.
I love that. But I do think there is a line that often gets crossed on wearing a jersey looking the right way versus wearing older jerseys to a game just because, and so many of them are so outdated and not nostalgic.
I know. I'll tell you, there's a couple of jersey looks that, again, I'm not telling you what to do. I would never do that.
No, we of course
certain
not doing
things,
that.
But just not with the jerseys. There are certain looks that just don't you can't cut it anymore. Like if you're a 50-something-year-old meathead that's still a little bit jacked up, but half the muscles now flab, and you're all tatted up, and you still think you're on the Jersey Shore in your 20s, don't just rock the jersey. Like, that's a weird look.
Yeah.
You know?
Either way, to each their
own. It's a weird look.
Yeah.
You know, 50-something years old, come on.
I would never tell somebody what to do or not to do, but I do notice sometimes where I'm like, I don't know if that's the right thing to be doing as an elder. I'd rather go for the, like, if I go to the Ranger game, I'm going to take Sammy to her first Ranger game coming up.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing a Ranger jersey. She will. I'll put her in a Ranger jersey.
Were you going to go with a hoodie or just no Ranger stuff at all?
I'll probably go the Rangers hoodie, okay. Maybe Ranger jacket, depending on the weather there. But either way, I sometimes feel like, Hoff, you're a big jersey guy. Are you not? You wore a Ranger jersey to the game?
Yeah, I love jerseys.
Yeah, you wear your Mets jersey a lot of time in here?
I wear jerseys everywhere.
Yeah.
The church.
Hoff is a jersey. Football
Church.
Sundays, you wear a jersey.
He's working.
Not when I'm working, right. Okay. But I used to when I was not going to the games.
There you have it.
I don't think, Sal, now I don't think I've ever had more than like two jerseys at once.
Interesting.
Yeah. I had a Wayne Corbett jersey that I got from Cosby by the Garden.
Yeah.
When
Jerry Cosby's best
place. I love that place. A lot of hockey stuff, like a lot of hockey gear. But I got it from there, and I had a... That's real. I mean, not many. Now that I think about it, I had a Curtis jersey that somebody gave me. Not a lot.
My closet's still filled. I got to start selling some of those. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the calls. That was a fun 3RQ. 888-808-1019. Giants quarterback. I was going to say issues
here, but that applies. There's an issue.
Giants quarterback situation is the main topic at hand. Yvonne is calling from Houston. What's up, Yvonne? Or Ivan?
What's up, guys? How are you doing today? Ivan.
Okay, there you go. What's up?
So I just wanted to talk about the quarterback position. See, I'm with BT a little bit, and I'm not – if they don't like the quarterbacks, I say don't draft them. But to bring up everything that they've done, especially with the Daniel Jones, like that wasn't even before them. I don't think they should really be held to, you know, that mistake that was made. And, again, signing him, they really didn't have a choice after he won that playoff game. I mean, if you remember I said he won that playoff game, BT, you wanted him for the Jets. You thought he was going to be a top 10 quarterback. So I don't really hold him on to that. But I just think that the way
But what about last year? And by the way, we're just talking heads who give our opinion. Like, we could be right or wrong.
Yeah,
they can't.
I get that.
Okay, but what about last year?
I know you guys love Penix. I mean, he threw three touchdowns in three games and two picks.
No. Did you watch him, or you're looking at the stats?
Yeah, I watched him.
Okay.
He wasn't that good.
No.
I don't think he was that good.
Well, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Come on. You cannot say I'm wrong already after three games.
No, it doesn't. I'm not saying.
If you want to go by track records of saying somebody's wrong after three games, I mean, you guys, I'm wrong most of the time.
What? Say that again? How are we wrong?
You guys are wrong most of the time.
No,
that's a great thing.
Yvonne, first of all, we're not wrong all the time, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. We're wrong a lot. Sure, that happens. Sports opinion. Doesn't matter. What the point is Michael Penix looked like a starting quarterback in the NFL. Who's the Giants quarterback right now? So you could say that, you didn't think he looked good. Well, you'd be in the minority. How about this? We have Brian Boldinger on every Tuesday. You don't trust our opinion? We have Boldinger on during the football season. Ask him what he thought of Michael Penix. And if you didn't listen to it, I'll tell you what he said. He's high on him. So you could think what you want about Penix and look at the stats. I don't believe that you actually watched him. Because if you did, you'd be like, man, I wish the Giants had that. Doesn't mean he's going to be good, BT. Who knows? But the thought was, oh, well, Penix, they didn't like him. He at least proved in a small sample size that he looked the part. He was better than Kirk Cousins for Atlanta a year ago. Bo Nix was proven to be a quarterback who took his team to the postseason. These are all facts. Also, fact I will have you know, Yvonne, that I wanted the Giants to take a quarterback last year. Check, that was right. I also told you Juan Soto would sign with the Mets. Check, that was right. I also said I wanted Aaron Rodgers to be back this year, like with the Jets. They moved on from him. Aaron Rodgers looking like a better quarterback. So the point is, BT, it's not like, oh, you're always wrong. No, and it doesn't matter if we're always right. The point is the Giants don't have a quarterback. And in hindsight, it's even easier to say that Penix or Bo Nix or McCarthy would have been the right choice then versus where the Giants are at now.
Well, I've always liked Penix. And, you know, forget about with the Falcons. I watched him play at Indiana. So yeah. I've been watching Michael Penix play for going back 4 years now. And I like him. Ironically, I saw him play more in college, really, than I did the last three games with the Falcons. Right. I want to see him play more as a pro. I like him.
Also, people hated that pick at the time.
Yeah, I think it confused people. I don't think it was more about the play. He was also coming off a big injury. He was a little bit banged up. It wasn't so much the player. It was more, the right move?
It was more they just paid Kirk Cousins, and now you're wasting a sixth pick or whatever, seventh pick on Michael Penix.
Yeah, and here we go. It's like they made the right move. I think they made the right move. Now, I know he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be great. He could be. I want to see him play more in the NFL. Listen, the opinions on quarterbacks, right? I learned my lesson, and you want to laugh, Jet fans, go Google this. Me and Tiki had Tony Romo on. I think Tony had just gotten the CBS job, like year two maybe. He comes on our old national show, and the platitudes that he's throwing around with Darnold, he actually said, quote, he is going to take the baton from Tom Brady as the best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
Like, you know, and then he came on again and said he loves Zach Wilson, so he's going to be the next Mahomes. A grain of salt. I mean, the quarterback evaluation market it's a racket. But if you can get paid to give quarterback opinions and get paid well and with no fear of being wrong, you're in the right job, because we're all wrong more than we're right with quarterbacks.
But there is a difference with what Yvonne was saying versus...
Oh, forget about who cares what he was saying.
Well, I'm just saying, I didn't say Penix was going to be a future star. He said, Yvonne said he wasn't good last year. That's factually incorrect. Like, there's right and wrong based off of fact. Yvonne is factually incorrect if he actually watched Michael Penix a year ago. BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day, Giants quarterback situation, and it's not pretty. 888-808-1019.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, Let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.